Hi, and welcome to the Yes in Zined podcast. I'm Richard, your host today. This time, we're talking to Non-Dairy Giant and Mac about their game Nuked. Hi there, Non-Dairy Giant and Mac, and welcome to the podcast.
Happy to be here.
So would you two like to take a minute to introduce yourselves and let us know what you do in the indie tabletop role-playing game sphere?
Mac, if you will.
Yeah. Right now, together, we are working on Nuked, as you had mentioned, which would be a post-apocalyptic game. Prior to that, I mostly just creep on Twitter and Instagram and buy too many zines, if I'm being honest. I did make the Rangers game before, but that's been my only foray into anything like this.
Oh, cool. And Non-Dairy Giant, what about you?
This is definitely my kind of first venture. I've been hanging out on RPG Twitter. I play a lot of D&D, but I haven't really been too involved, you know, actively other than talking to people. But it's been nice to take a step forward into the creator role.
Mostly we like liking cool art for RPGs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a great hobby to have.
It is.
So we're here today to talk about Nuked, a radioactive nave hack. So give us an elevator pitch for what that's about.
It does what it says on the label is kind of how I think of it. So it started out as a nave hack. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty straightforward, random character generation, simple rules. It's got, you know, OSR genes in that it, you know, where my head was at when we were putting it together. But it's also a goofy, over-the-top Fallout or Borderlands kind of shoot-em-up post-apocalyptic game. Big scary mutants, big science guns. It's intended to be a good, fun time.
Yeah. B movie, science fiction, post-apocalyptic.
I was going to ask about your media touchstones, and your itch page has a great sort of list of them, including one of my absolute favorite movies, Tank Girl, a movie I absolutely love because, you know, you kind of have to love it because it's not quite good enough that you might like it. You kind of have to just fall for it exactly. And go all the way. There's no being casually involved with Tank Girl.
Right. Like, you have to love Tank Girl or you wouldn't have watched Tank Girl all the way.
Am I going to get in trouble for not having seen Tank Girl?
Oh, no.
The Tank Girl influence is all me. Max the Mad Max, and I'm the Tank Girl.
There aren't a lot of post-apocalypse movies that have a Cole Porter number right in the middle. So I that's the one thing I will say nice about Tank Girl. But tell us a little bit about sort of like what your inspirations there. And you also list a few sort of specific mechanical inspirations coming from the OSR. What were your inspirations and how do you see them kind of showing up in the work?
Fallout, Borderlands, Mad Max, evidently Tank Girl, but again, that's non-Jerry more than me. You know, just that over-the-top kind of goofiness. You know, we've got laser guns, we've got mutants, we've got radiation giving you superpowers and not just killing you slowly. That's really the media references.
Yeah, I mean, so mechanically, it was kind of born of my tinkering. So like when I got into OSR, kind of one of my biggest points of interest was that, you know, how modular and malleable everything was. So I got into Nave as kind of my touchstone and then started playing with that. And that just bled into me and Mac's game design. The core of it is kind of Nave, just like a straight roll under stat system. It's kind of inventory focused and classless. So, you know, what you carry defines you, which we've, you know, lifted from Nave. It takes a note from Black Hack in the usage of usage dies to represent, you know, everything kind of wearing down unexpectedly. And our combat system is influenced by a mix of like Troika and Morkborg, I guess. I really liked Troika's dangerous, anybody can get hurt, like attacking someone is just as dangerous as being attacked. Mm-hmm. And I think that resonates with me in a game. I don't love combat in role-playing games, honestly. Like, it always ends up being a big focus of the rules I write, unfortunately. But it's a thing as a player I avoid. When I have it, my goal is to keep it fast and deadly and a thing that you shouldn't get into unless you're sure of it. So it's got, you know, Troika's kind of dangerousness there. And then we took Morkborg's usage of rolling your armor to reduce damage as another kind of cherry on the top.
What's your favorite bit of world lore? In the game, what's the one piece of world lore you're sort of in love with?
There isn't a ton of lore in the game, but there are a couple of just cute little bits of it baked into the way items are named and things, and particularly like the list of perks and mutations. It's probably just based on my experience playtesting it, but there's a mutation called Malodorous Musk, which, you know, gives you mutant stench abilities, essentially, and that's always a personal favorite.
And what about you, Mac?
Like Nandere said, we didn't do a whole lot of like overt world building, mostly because anybody that plays the game, you know, half the tables will scrap that and do their own thing anyway, which is encouraged.
Right.
But we always seem to settle on Boomtown being the name of our starting area. Every time that we've played a campaign, we're always just in Boomtown. It's always a radioactive crater. But aside from that, the perks and mutations have a lot of goofy names. And then for the backgrounds, you know, rather than have, you know, like a soldier, we have War Dog. Rather than having an apothecary, we have an herb keeper. So we tried to come up with, you know, slangy names that we thought might be, you know, a little post-apocalyptic, but still close enough that people can read it and kind of figure out what the intent was while still allowing them to take their own spin on it.
All right. What's your favorite bit of game tech?
As much as Nandere doesn't like running combat or focusing the rules on it, I would say for me, it's probably my favorite part.
Nice. Okay.
Just because it's so fast. Like I came from 3.5 and 5th edition of D&D.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked playing them, but eventually it just, especially for online play, like you start and that just becomes the sole focus. Whereas with Nuked, we've managed to keep fights quick, dangerous, but still, I would say, yeah, I've had fun playing them. Granted, I'm biased. But yeah, I think combat's probably my favorite bit of mechanical work that we've done.
And what about you, Nandere Giant?
I think the character generator is my favorite part. You know, it's essentially a random character generator. There are a few choices to be made by the player, but for the most part, it spits out a guy, and I think it does so in a way that really spits out a playable person, a person who's got something about them that you can kind of instantly get a read on and really usefully and interestingly use. It's not going to create a one-note bit character or a character with a two-page backstory. I think it gives you a person that fits into the world effectively and in a fun and gameable way.
Really cool.
One of our players, he rolled up a character who wound up being essentially the 90s stereotype of like a cool youth minister with an oversized, baggy, ironic, like Looney Tunes t-shirt and just a love of freestyle rap to connect with the kids, or so to speak. While also being, I think he was the stinky mutant, actually.
Oh, God. So you all decided to kind of approach crowdfunding via Itch. I'm about to do my very first Itch funding campaign. I know, Mac, you've done work on both Itch and Kickstarter for crowdfunding before. What got you to go with Itch, and how is it different? What are the strengths and what are the things that people need to be aware of?
I went with Itch because Nandere Giant said he wanted to do Itch. It is definitely a different experience. I would say Kickstarter has, I feel like it has a lot more momentum from the onset, whereas Itch funding tends to be a more slower paced, more relaxed crowdfunding. People just kind of pop in when they're ready.
Nice.
So far, I've found them both to be equally easy to manage.
Okay.
So it really just depends on, I guess, if you want like faster results or if you kind of want to give yourself some time to react as things are changing for you.
I'd always thought this kind of thing was really honestly outside of the realm of attainability for me. I've always felt like kind of an outsider looking in at this community and going like, that's very cool. I'm going to buy their books. They're doing great stuff.
Uh-huh.
But Mac released and had a successful Kickstarter run, and I was very surprised by that, honestly. I thought that was a very lofty goal for us. And I guess I didn't realize how realistic and attainable and a thing I could do myself this was. And seeing Zine Month pop up this year just kind of gave me the shove to go like, all right, let's actually take the jump and do it. So I floated around and kind of looked at what my options were, and I wanted to avoid Kickstarter, which I appreciate Mac for playing along with. But Itch seemed like the way to go, and I, you know, a handful of great resources out there for how to set up an Itch page and how to run your campaign and how to format things and what kind of information to put out there. I've been enjoying it so far, and like Max said, it has been kind of a relaxed thing. Not having a goal that we absolutely have to hit or the whole thing has failed in a certain amount of time is a real load off my shoulders. At first, though, it felt very overwhelming, though, the idea that people were going to be paying me for a product that at the time I felt there was a chance I might not deliver.
Right.
But something clicked in my head along the way where I was like, no matter what, I'm going to make this book. And the more support I can get, the easier that's going to be. And I'm really enjoying the Itch funding so far.
Nice, nice. What are your sort of hopes beyond just making your funding goals? Do you have any particular stretch goals or secondary goals or pocket backup goals that if things go really, really well, you're really kind of looking forward to?
So Nandere is more of the adventure guy, and I'm more of the extra toolkits guy.
Mm-hmm.
I know if we are successful, I would like to release maybe like a companion piece down the line with like settlement generators, maybe like more detailed travel, an expanded bestiary, just because we got to keep the zine small. I made the mistake of going too big with my first project, and so now people make fun of me for calling it a zine when it's a book. So that's what I want to do, is have some additional toolkits to kind of showcase along the way.
I have been there twice, Mac. Just so that we're, you know. My first zine came out to like 64 pages.
Mine was 250.
Oh, wow. I've still not gotten... Anything I've written over 3,000 words has always made it to like 15,000 at some point.
Yep.
All right. Where can people find you online?
The best place to find me or to find my stuff would be on Twitter, unfortunately, but at Nondairy Giant is kind of my online hub for the time being. I probably should put together my own website, but from there you can find anything else I've got out. Really, Nuked is the only thing I've got out these days, but I'm always tinkering with something goofy.
I'm also on Twitter and Instagram. My last name is annoying to spell, but you can access those if you go to my website, macmakesthings.com.
All right. And I guess all that remains is for me to say thank you very much for coming on Yes Indeed Podcast, and fantastically good luck with your crowdfunding campaign.
Thanks so much for taking your time to ask us some questions.
Yeah, thank you. And good luck on your projects as well.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. And thanks again to Richard, Mac and Nondairy Giant for the interview. As always, you can find all of the links in the episode description. Today's episode is sponsored by Odin's Beard RPG. Runecairn is a Souls-like Norse fantasy RPG from By Odin's Beard for 1-3 players. Character creation is quick and intuitive, dynamic combat is intense and reactive. Warden Saga combines Runecairn core rules, an introductory dungeon crawl adventure Beneath the Broken Sword, and new advanced rules in an 84-page deluxe hardcover edition with a cover from groundbreaking artist Crom. Warden Saga features core gameplay designed for 2 players, 1 warden and 1 adventurer, with new optional rules for 3 or more players through summoned allies, jolly cooperation, and invasions. Streamlined D20 roll-under rules based on Cairn, Into the Odd, and Knave. Souls-like mechanics such as resurrecting at bonfires, respawning monsters, and dynamic combat. New options for solo play with a rune-based oracle, and new random delve generator creating Norse fantasy dungeons. Runecairn Warden Saga is coming soon from Exalted Funeral. To complement the Yes Indeed Pod event, all through February, Yes Indeed Pod is running a Patreon drive. We're trying to hit $200 per month so that we can continue to pay all of our guests as well as hire a podcast transcriber. If you sign up during February, on top of the usual benefits of being a subscriber, you can also get some exclusive merchandise. Sign up at $2 to get a handwritten postcard, as well as regular shoutouts and access to our guest and subscriber Discord server. At $5 per month, you can also join our monthly editing and chat streams, and I'll send you a handwritten greetings card and your choice of Yes Indeed Pod stickers. And at $20 per month, join our book club, where every month you get free PDFs from one of our guests. As well as a greetings card and stickers, you'll also get an exclusive, personalised faux leather bookmark for your RPG reading. So remember, if you love Yes Indeed Pod and want to support what we do and get some exclusive merchandise, be sure to check out patreon.com/yesindeedpod. If you can't commit regularly, you can always help out by rating and reviewing the show wherever you find your podcasts, or by donating through the Ko-Fi page at ko-fi.com/yesindeedpod. Of course, you can always reach out to me through Twitter at yesindeedpod, that's yesindeedpod. I'd love dearly to hear from you. Lastly, music credits. All music is adapted from Nothing Like Captain Crunch from Slam Funk by Broke for Free, available on the Free Music Archive and released under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 Unported License. Until next time, remember, does indie need you? Yes, indeed.